Thank you so much. I am so blessed and happy to be with you. We're meeting this weekend to remember Reverend Ken Petty, who spoke the Word of God and blessed our lives hugely. And a number of years ago, I remember I visited here for a wonderful weekend in the Word. I was so blessed. And afterwards, Ken and his wife and other believers were fellowshipping here. And we were outside in the decking and having coffee and fellowshipping and chatting. And I was speaking to him. It was just the two of us talking to each other. And I guess I expressed a burden in my heart regarding the things I saw around me where I lived and the inadequacy I had to bless and do more that I would like to do for God. And he said, Alison, all you're responsible to do is what God is telling you to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Ken who gave us the great analogy of the banks of a river that represent the rock-solid truth of the Scriptures, it is written, that we know. But the flowing river is the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God. And we've heard teachings over the year. We need the Word and the Spirit. We need the Word and the Spirit. Not one without the other. And the Scriptures tell us hugely about the gift of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that rocked the world. So I really took those words to my heart. That must have been 5 or 7 years ago, that my responsibility, like every one of us, is to do what God is telling us to do. So if you want to turn to 1 Samuel 16, it's just an interesting account to look at. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this is when the Lord spoke to Samuel, who was, as we read the scriptures verse after verse, we see he went to Jesse's family and anointed David. But as we read, it says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And we see the fullness of the relationship that God had with his prophet here. It wasn't a sparse word here or there. It was a full conversational relationship. And as I read this, I used to think, why didn't he just say, go and anoint David? Just go and anoint David. Why, I have provided me a king among his sons. He knew who he was calling. Mm-hmm. And God knew he needed to keep his prophet connected. If God pulled back the veil for us and just told us all and everything, we just, wow. And we could cut off, because we kind of don't need the voice of God anymore. Mm-hmm. We need to stay connected. Samuel was a wonderful prophet. He spoke what God told him to speak to the nation of Israel. There's a difference in function with the prophet of the Old Testament and the prophet of the New. The prophet in the New might minister to a church, but mainly in an individual way, to give that word from God to that person. But in the Old Testament, they would call back a whole nation, and they had to be right before God. So we see here God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel spoke back to him. Samuel said, verse 2, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Isn't that great? He told him what to speak. And by Holy Spirit, God can tell us what to speak. And call Jesse to the sacrifice. I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. Still doesn't drop the name. So Samuel's just listening, just his ears are open. just like we should be.
Yes.
To carry out the purposes of God, we need a timely voice from God. Not the voice from 3 weeks ago, but the voice now, in the moment. We know the example of Abram, who God told him to sacrifice his son, and then he told him something different, or his son would have been sacrificed. We need this current voice from God if we're going to hit the mark with God. So here we go with Samuel, verse 4. And Samuel did which the Lord spake. He was obedient. Somebody once said, you move at the pace of the obedience you have to the Spirit of God. People talk about, oh, God's slow and God's this and I'm waiting on God. Well, he's waiting on us to obey and say yes.
Yeah.
And that's why we pray and stay at a depth of prayer in our heart till we know that we know this is the voice of God and I'm stepping out on it. I know this is what he wants me to say and to do. So Samuel did that which the Lord spake. He came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? This is because the last chapter, he personally hacked King Agag to pieces.
Yeah.
So folk were kind of trembling a bit when he came. But he assured them, he said, yep, peaceably, I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on that he, Samuel, looked on Eliab and has said, he said within himself, surely this is him. The Lord's anointed is before him. This is because Eliab really looked like Saul. Big chap, well built. How tempting it is for us to go with what worked before, with what happened before. And it's basically fear. If one thing worked before quite well, I'm sure it'll work again, you know? Instead of clearing the decks and thinking, okay, God, what are you saying? And this only comes from that depth of a prayer life that comes out of a heart that loves God more than anybody else. And loves the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us the life that we've got. So he was tempted to do that, but God. Hey, I know. The Lord stepped in and said unto Samuel, and just this one verse of wisdom, what it gives us from the scriptures, don't look in his countenance or in the height of his stature. I've refused him. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I sat in a plane coming over here and I just glanced at the young gentleman. Just, I had a spare seat in between across the way. And just, I just drew a quick, you know, judgment, and not condemning, I pray not, because every person is precious in the eyes of God. Christ died for that guy in the plane next to me, Christ died for this one, and I should view them the way God sees them. Then I started a conversation with him. What a great kid! He works in San Diego, he's got family over in Bedford, England. He makes pizza on Pacific Beach, is it? Yeah, and it's called Woodstock Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, do you know what it is?
Well, yeah, I've heard of them more than one spot, and yeah.
He loves his job. He's single. He must be about 27, 28. He lives with three cats. And we just hit it off. And, you know, we just should never judge by the flesh. And if we just committed our hearts to this one truth that God looks in the heart, the deepest, deepest part of somebody that we don't see, but that's what God looks at. And the story goes on as you read it. Samuel anointed David. And it's just, I just wanted to look at that account because of that connection. For Samuel to have such a successful life, he was connected to God. Now an interesting one, Luke 18:18. So somebody comes to Jesus. A certain ruler asked him, Jesus, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, come on, if somebody came up to us, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You'd think, oh, have a seat. How long do you have? An hour and a half? Have I got a class for you? I want you to meet so-and-so. Fellowship is made for you. But what did Jesus say? And again, we know from John 5, we know from the Gospel of John, Jesus only did that which God told him to do. He only spoke that which God sent him to say. He heard what God is saying. I like that phrase because it's present tense. It's what is God saying now? And if we speak that, we'll hit the mark in the moment. So Jesus, I mean, you kind of think it's kind of cool. I mean, kind of coolish cold, not cool groovy, what he says. It's kind of like Jesus says to him, "Well, why'd you call me good? None's good, save one, that's God." So he reproves him for starters, then says, "You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honour thy father and mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth." And he carries on with that and he develops the whole thing. The thing is, he said what God is saying to do. And I think, I remember meeting this believer, it must have been 6 or 7 years ago, and I was talking to him. And he interrupted me and he finished off the verse I was starting to share. So I quietly listened to him. And I carried on chatting again and he finished off the sentence I was saying. Because he knew, he felt he knew what I was going to say. And what he said was biblical, right on the money. But he had predicted what I would say and what should be said. Because he'd been well taught, very well taught, and he was saying what he had been taught, but it was not what God was saying. It was kind of knee-jerk. You know, kind of like if I said born again, you think, ding, Romans 10:9, ding, this, ding, ding, like this. But that's not walking by the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus here, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How he responded was as God spoke. Another one I'd like us to look at is John 11, the raising of Lazarus. So the raising of Lazarus, John 11, this Lazarus was sick. It was that his sisters, Mary and Martha, verse 3, his sisters sent unto Jesus, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Jesus, when he heard that, said, "This sickness will not end in death," is a better translation, "but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. When he'd heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was.
Yeah.
And it's easy, we know, to say that's because God told him to stay there, and we carry on. But it's so, I mean, it begs the question, why didn't he just go heal Lazarus? Mm-hmm. It would be a fantastic healing. Like, you know, like the other great healings. It would save an amazing trauma, a lot of misery and grief. 4 days dead. My goodness. It just... But he did what the Father was leading him to do. And the flack he got, when you read the whole account, Mary came at him, Martha repeated the same. And then, we know the shortest verse in the Bible is here, Jesus wept. And you can see in the Gospels, when Jesus said to his disciples, who do people think that I am? One of the responses was a weeping prophet. And prophets were known for weeping because they loved the people, the nation, because there's only one prophet named in the New Testament, and that's Agabus. In the Old Testament, there's more prophets. They cared so much for God's people and saw them walking into brick walls and pain and sickness. They would literally weep and weep because they loved so much. And Jesus too, you look at the Gospels, he loved people so much. We forget sometimes reading the Gospels, some people didn't want to hear him. They didn't come to him for healing. There's that town he did no good works there because people didn't believe he was the Son of God. It really broke his heart. It wasn't a case of, oh, hey ho, who cares, you know? He really cared. And he would weep. And Jesus knew what he was going to do here, though others didn't. And he wept because they didn't believe. At John 11, he declared who he was. He declared why he was there, the Son of God, to save all humanity. And even though he did amazing healings, people still didn't believe. So he walked by the Spirit of God. Absolutely amazing. Mark 15 minutes. And we'll finish with Acts 8.
You're doing so well that we don't care.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Acts 8, and we'll pick it up in verse 26. And this is the account of the evangelist Philip. And in verse 26 it says, The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Specific, clear, direct. Verse 27, and he arose and went. Acts 8, 27, he arose and went. Somebody said, and I believe it's true, the future belongs to the Spirit-led church.
Mm.
It really does. Philip's going to rock the world here because he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So this man had influence over many, many people, great authority. He had the charge of all our treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran He ran because he so wanted to obey Holy Spirit. He ran thither to him. He heard him read Isaiah. Do you understand what you read? How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Great section. Philip opened his mouth, verse 35, began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Ethiopia has been a Christian nation since the first century because Philip ran. He ran. He didn't ignore the Spirit of God. He didn't say, oh, tomorrow we'll do. He obeyed. And today in 2022, Ethiopia continues to be a nation that honors and respects the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when somebody walks by the Spirit of God, they rock the world. It's how God planned it to be. That Spirit within us just ignites and reaches many, many people. Mm-hmm. So it comes back full circle to Reverend Ken Petty saying, Alison, all you are responsible for is to do what God is telling you to do. And I believe that's the same personal and beautiful revelation to each one of us here, because all of us have Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you for being so wonderful, so loving, so kind. Thank you, Father, for the mighty Spirit of God that lives within each of our hearts. And may we humble ourselves to you and build in our heart a great desire to follow the lead of your Spirit in our hearts, that we may speak that which you are saying, do that which you are leading us to do, and live the lives that you have called us to live. We love you and honor you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.